I think one of the most early blame games I ever got involved in was with my brother. My parents and us, we were on vacation for the very first time in a lakeside cottage in New Hampshire. I'm 8 years old, he's 6 years old. It's really the first time that as a family, we are away from the apartment that we had been living in. So a lot of excitement. Well, one day, my brother and I are on the dock. We have an exchange of words. I push my brother off the dock into shallow water. My father sees this, comes right down, very angry. John, why did you do this? Well, Stephen started calling me names. Stephen, why did you call John names? Well, because he told me that I smelled. That was a blame game. My father did say to the two of us, this is to end, and if it doesn't end, we will be leaving here earlier than planned. There was mercy and redemption there. But the point of this is, you know, in our early education, after the story of God's creation, the story that we are told is the story of Adam and Eve. They are called the first parents because of their intimate partnership with God. It is a relationship marked with trust and presence and love. Unfortunately, this relationship became broken because of Adam and Eve's choice to eat the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge. After they eat this fruit, they hide themselves. God is looking for them and asks the question, where are you? Adam and Eve are fearful, exposed, blame the other, and stand together. The seeds of division are sown. Each of them point a finger away from self and towards one another. Adam attempts to justify disobedience by blaming Eve. Then God asks her why she did what she did, and she blames someone else. The blame game is born. Division and self-deception are born. This plants humanity's long list of excuses. As the followers of Christ, we are called to be a peaceful, loving people. We are challenged to be models of compassion and mercy, and to call out people who prefer to hide behind the excuses, fears, and blaming. And we are called to urge them to be instruments of peace, reflecting the love of God that is inside their hearts. Mark's gospel, Jesus responds to a question of sinfulness. The scribes claim he has an extraordinary power because he's aligned himself with Beelzebul because he has union with other sinners. Jesus challenges, then asks, why are his works opposed to darkness, ignorance, suffering, deceit, lies, and sin? We ask ourselves the question, where does this story place Jesus and us in the world? It is only when we fall that we look and see how intimately we are linked to others. It is here that we discover the gifts of the Holy Spirit: patience, kindness, mercy. And we are able to put away our own concerns and our own needs to meet the others. We do not go around categorizing people or blaming others for the sins in our lives. Very often in direction, I ask the question, where are you with God? And that's the same question that God asked Adam and Eve. And they say, well, I only pray 15 or 20 minutes a day. And how much time are you on social media? Well, 2 and 3 hours a day. It's a real hindrance to relationship with God and relationship with the community. And it is the same way as with any, addiction as well. What hole or wound are you covering up? What are you afraid of? We are in the image and likeness of God, and God has given us, the call to nurture ourselves as well as to be the stewards of all of creation. And that is accomplished through prayer, whether the prayer be silent, at home, here at Mass, adoration, but is also sought through the sacraments of reconciliation, the sacrament of healing. This is what reunites us with God and reunites us with community to be able to say to someone, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, or being able to find more compassion and generosity and willingness to help people who are forgotten. Unlike Adam, Jesus does not separate himself from family, friends, his disciples. He tells all of us to grow into deeper intimacy with him, God, and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul reminds us, everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed on more and more people may cause the overflowing from the glory of God. God creates what is good. He wants what is good. And our hearts are to be full of goodness and expressed to others. People cannot be ignored. People cannot have backs turned away from them when a greeting is said to them. So as we continue this liturgy, let us pray for that grace to seek the goodness, not only in ourselves, but in others.